Well, as we all begin coming back in and getting settled down in our seats, today, as we enter our time to hear and respond to a message from God's Word, I invite you to open to Psalm 130, our call to worship from this moment, from this morning, as we will be going there today as we continue discussing prayer. Because last week we began discussing that spiritual discipline, that holy habit and practice of life, of the life of faith known as prayer. Disciplines, holy habits, and practices of faith that help spur us on and help us grow in a deeper, more meaningful relationship and connection with Jesus our Lord. We discussed how to be human is to pray, as it is simply one of the most natural things for us to do. We've been wired to pray. It's part of our very nature. Even the most militant of atheists can be seen praying at some points in their life. As Pete Gregg humorously says in his book, How to Pray, A Simple Guide for Normal People, writes, there are no atheists on a falling plane. With this understanding, we began to discuss where we begin and how. And that was by pausing. And that is where we're going to be kicking off this morning, by talking more about pausing and what that looks like and why that's significant and important in our lives of prayer, why we need to take time to pause. Because as Richard Foster says, prayer catapults us to the frontier of spiritual life. And that begins by us slowing down our lives to receive actual life. Because we are supposed to be a people of prayer, known as a people of prayer. In fact, 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says that we should pray without ceasing. Based upon the Word of God, I would even argue this to be the single most important discipline for us to develop in our life of faith. And whether you've been praying for 5 minutes or 50 years, as we discussed last week, there's always room to grow deeper in Christ through and by the discipline of prayer, to have this deep communion with God. You see, too often in our day and age, we treat prayer transactionally. It's a simple transaction and not a relationship. We submit our order and expect it to arrive nice and neatly on our front porches, just like an Amazon delivery. And when it does not arrive, we blame that nasty porch pirate, Satan, or we blame the shipper themselves. We blame God. Too often, we make it about a transaction rather than a relationship. God wants a relationship with you. He did not send Jesus to die on the cross so that he couldn't be connected, but that he could be connected to you. We often forget our life of faith is all about having a restored relationship with God. That's what it means to be righteous. It means to have a right relationship. And he has given us the ability to be righteous with him, with one another, and with this whole world once again. To live in a right relationship. To not treat him as some genie in the bottle, but to develop a deeper, more meaningful relationship with him. We must learn to talk with him, but not just talk. We must learn to listen to him. Knowing, as the late great theologian and pastor Tim Keller says, prayer is continuing a conversation that God has started through his word and his grace, which eventually becomes a full encounter with him. I think one of the reasons we see one of the greatest ages of spiritual apathy in our world, in Western society, is because we've lost sight of how to pray. And that's why we are going to be spending some significant time discussing this discipline again this year. As we use the prayer model, P-R-A-Y, an acrostic that simply means to P, pause, R, rejoice, A, ask, Y, yield. Come what may, yielding to the presence of God. Last week, we started discussing this by talking about the P in the model, which means to pause. And as we go into the psalm, I want us to do just that. The psalm of ascent, to pause. These psalms are perfect psalms, these psalms of ascent, to do this, to pause and really take in the deepness and meaningfulness of God, to focus our hearts, to tune our hearts to Him so that we bring His face in view before we do anything else. Psalms of ascent, which are found in Psalms chapter 120 all the way to 134. 15 psalms that would be sung and recited again and again by the faithful as they would journey to Jerusalem, as they would go through the streets towards the temple, as they would walk up those stairs. They would sing these psalms meditatively, worshipfully, focusing their hearts on God, preparing their hearts for what was in store, what they were about to do and participate in, preparing their hearts for where they were going. You see, Israel, during its height of their commitment to God, this was a big deal to them. Going to the temple, going to present yourself in worship before the Lord, walking into the presence of God was a huge deal to them. They didn't just go about it willy-nilly, but they prepared themselves. Do we prepare ourselves in such ways when we gather for the same reason? Do we prepare ourselves to go into the presence of God, even when we just come here or when we just pray at home and worship at home? What is your psalm of ascent? Do you have one? It might be a song, it might be a passage of scripture, something that helps prepare your heart for what it is you are doing and about to do. Do you take time to get ready? And I'm not talking about fixing up your hair, putting on some nice clothes, making sure, I may have forgot the deodorant today. Sorry about that. Making sure that you smell good. I'm talking about taking some time to just be still. Be still in the presence of God. To know that He is God and that He is with you always. The Jews did this. They prepared their hearts, and we should prepare ours. And so we're going to just take a moment to pause together right now, to breathe deeply, and then we are going to read together the 130th Psalm. Psalm 130 says, "Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my pleas for mercy. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen for the morning, more than watchmen for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is plentiful redemption. And he will redeem Israel from all his iniquities." With this being read, let us learn how what we just did by pausing before we can read truly can catapult us, as Richard Foster says, into a deeper, more meaningful walk with Christ. How turning our attention to God first, losing sight of the distractions of this world and the issues around us, allows us to truly have communion and connection with God, to be more attentive. Because it requires both parties in a conversation to be attentive, does it not? You've been there before where you're talking with someone about something very important. You can just tell you're talking straight through them. They're not paying attention. They're looking over here at a squirrel over there. They're checking their watch to make sure. It's like, gosh, when is this time going to be over? And it's just there, just not listening. It's kind of like how Jeanette was talking to Lucas this past weekend. She was giving him very important instructions. And she said, did you hear me? He didn't respond. And she repeated herself, did you hear me? He didn't respond. Lucas, I need your eyes. Bone-chilling words in our home. When mom says, I need your eyes, you give her your eyes. And she said it again. Now repeat what I said. I love you, son. I really do. I was just like you when I was your age. Your Nana could testify to that. We tend to have selective hearing, to hear the things we want to hear and not the things we need to hear. We are so busy in this life that we just focus on the things we want rather than the things we need. I love how the psalmist starts here. Out of the depths, I cry to you, O Lord. The depths of his being. Out of the depths, from the deep recesses within inside of me. Lord, you have my attention. Hear my pleas for mercy. You have my attention, God. And yes, he is speaking of a place of despair and challenge here in particular. That's what he is speaking about. However, something is clear. We all have this deep place within us, a deep inner place within our hearts that longs to be with God in the good and in the bad. And it's by tapping into this place within us that we can truly begin to connect with God in a more deeper and meaningful way. To do this, we must stop and pause before God. As we do have this place, and it takes effort to get to that place of connection where God resides within us. Proverbs 20:27 says this, the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all his innermost parts. Jesus also refers to this, but it's recorded by John as the heart. Understanding the heart was the depths of being to this culture, to the people of Israel, to the early Greeks and Romans. The heart was the place where all being was at. It is the place where all action was born. And everything you would say and do, it would come and flow from the heart. And Jesus says this in John 7:38, whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Out of the deepest, most inner part of his being will there be rivers of living water. And I have to put in a little disclaimer here. I wasn't planning on going the direction we're going to go today. But Friday night at our regional summer retreat in Santa Maria for the Church of God Central California region, Pastor Randy DeGraw spoke about something and just hit this on the head, hit the nail on the head, and I couldn't say it any better, of this reality that we have these deep places within the recesses of our being that we must learn to tap into when we pray. As this was, Psalm 130 was one of the psalms we reflected on and prayed over for quite a bit of this prayer retreat. He talked about something the author John Eldridge wrote about the levels of our being. And there were three: the shallows, the midlands, and the depths. The shallows, fleeting thoughts throughout the day, most of which are insignificant. The midlands, your longings, hopes, and dreams that are far more important. However, deep within you are the depths where you experience God's love, hope, and joy. True communion with God comes from the depths. When you, like the psalmist, can say, from the depths, I cry out to you, Lord, from the depths, breaking through the shallows and drudging through the midlands. You can't just go willy-nilly as if nothing is happening. No, something significant is happening. You're having a conversation with God, and you should pause to leave this world behind and to seek him with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength so that you would find him. You have to be patient, not rushing, but waiting. Pausing is not just a moment's effort, but it's a lifelong process and journey of fixing your eyes upon Jesus. And when they would wander, fixing your eyes once again upon Jesus. Praying without ceasing, conversing with God in all things, always as we go to and fro, here and there. You cannot, nor should you, rush this. I love what the psalmist says in verses 5 and 6. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I hope. There's hope in the waiting. Why? Why is that? Why is there hope in the waiting? Because we know God's going to show up. In fact, God's already showed up, and we know he's about to move. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen for the morning, more than watchmen for the morning. Anyone that's ever worked any kind of job that you were paid hourly and you had shifts, you know what it's like to look at that clock as it goes, waiting for it to just hit that right time so you can clock out and go about your day. If you're in the military and you ever had watch duty, you especially know how that feels. It's like, oh gosh, I'm so done looking out at this desert right now. And it's just desert. Nothing has happened for the past 4 hours. More than the watchman waits for the morning, he says he waits. He waits for the Lord. This is something that's instructed of us throughout the Psalms. Psalms 27:14 says, wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Understand that you are truly connecting with God. And that's not something that's easy to do. He's there, but so often we are not. And this is why we have to learn to break through the shallows. The shallows, once again, represent our fleeting thoughts throughout the day, most of which are insignificant. Eldridge wrote an amazing just summary of what the shallows are, and I have to read it. Shallows of our being are characterized and ruled by the distractions of life. The shallows we go from thought to thought, distraction to distraction, almost unpredictably. You know how this goes. You're driving down the road listening to a podcast on the intelligence of dogs when the host makes a passing reference to their birthday. Your brain seizes on this little inconsequential remark, and you suddenly remember you forgot your mother's birthday, which leads you to a panic and thoughts about how you would be able to buy a birthday card on your way to go see her. You think of a store that might have a card, and you recall that it's next to a great taco place, which causes you to realize how much you love tacos. And in a matter of a few nanoseconds, you are miles away from the original topic of the podcast. Am I alone here? Does anybody else experience this in their life? You know, and you even forget that you were even listening to a podcast. You're just like all the way in a different world. This is what happens. And you end up with tacos and you're wondering, how? Has your prayer life ever felt this way? Your mind bouncing from place to place, distraction to distraction, by this and that. And before you know it, you're going to get tacos instead of praying. How do we focus our lives on God in such an age? Some helpful tips, and we've talked about these things. Don't just put it on silent. Turn it off. For me, it means turning my phone off, it means turning my iPad off, turning my computer off, turning my watch off. But being intentional about it, being intentional that, you know what, I am going to pause my life right now and be in the presence of God. It could start simply like that, making that conscious effort. And it's one of those things, when you actually turn those things off, I don't know about you, but something happens in your mind. It's off, it's not working, it's not on. Nothing's going to come through that. Nothing's going to pique your mind. It's like, I wonder if I felt a vibration. There's an actual known medical condition that has developed over time with vibrating phones, and that is sometimes people will think their phone's ringing, and it's not. Their leg will twitch, actually. It was very interesting. I was reading the study on this, that they could make people think they were getting a phone call if they put them in the perfect environment for that when they were not. We live in such a noisy world. There's always something vying for our attention. There's always a train of thought that will take us from our Father who are in heaven. Straight to tacos. We have to make an effort to bring God in view, especially when there is an enemy, the devil, who wants nothing more than for you to focus on everything else instead of Jesus. This is why reminding ourselves we not only have our own shallow mind to deal with, we also have the distractions from outside of us to deal with. And we're at war. Something that I find helpful when my mind is completely distracted is turning to Ephesians 6, 10 through 17, a famed section of scripture known as the armor of God. And pray through it, not just read it, but to pray through it. Not only ask God to help equip me, though, in my full battle rattle, as we called it in the army, but to actually even visualize him putting it on me, adjusting it properly, much like our drill sergeants did at basic training, so that we would know how the equipment was supposed to fit, how we were supposed to wear it, what was the way to wear it comfortably, they said. And there's no comfortable way to wear that stuff. I don't care what you say. It's not comfortable. But to actually pray through each piece and visualize God putting that on me. And doing what I need to do to that rabbit that takes me on those rabbit trails and squash it. Understanding it is after this and doing this that God inspires Paul to write this in Ephesians 6:18. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. He tells us to do this after we get equipped, after we are ready for battle. And we are at a war. We are in war, and we cannot forget this. And that's why I find it so helpful to take some time when I'm distracted to focus myself on God through Scripture. It may be that the armor of God for you, it may be one of the Psalms of Ascent. Whatever it would be, if you find yourself distracted and not able to pause, open the Word and see how God can help you break through the shallows. And when you find those shallows coming back to hold you back, break through again. After acknowledging who he is, that's what the psalmist does here, by acknowledging who God is. And after acknowledging who he is, he engages in a conversation. We see him acknowledging God in verse 2, 3, and 4 when he says, O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my pleas for mercy. If you, O Lord, he's reminding himself of who God is. He's reminding himself of his character, just like we can when we read the word. You, O Lord, should mark iniquities. O Lord, who could stand? The answer is no one. But with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared. Lord, you are great. You are holy. And because of this, knowing this, believing this, remembering this, he knows without a doubt, as the author of Hebrews 4:16 tells us and promises us, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. If you find the shallows holding you back, and you're trying everything to break through, remember who God is through his word. Seek solitude and silence as if your life depended on it, because it does, in a way. Another discipline that we'll be exploring in the coming weeks. So when you find yourself wandering, call your mind back to God. Do what it takes. When you find yourself distracted by something, do what is needed to move yourself out of that distraction into a better place. Do whatever it takes to break through the shallows, because next you have to drudge through the Midlands. And I use that word drudge intentionally because it's hard work. It's going through the swamp of all the cares and things that worry you in your life, all the things that keep you awake in the evening that we are tossing back and forth, restlessly praying for rest. And it doesn't come because you can only think about things that heartaches, worries, longings, those aspirations even that occupy your heart. Something that Jesus calls the cares of this world. A reference from Luke 21:34 and Mark 4:9. Luke 21:34 says, But watch yourself, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap. Mark 4:19. But the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. Eldred says these things are like health of your aging parents, the learning struggles of your children, the status of your troubled relationship, the progress of your career or lack thereof, your finances, your own health, your hopes and fears for your future, or the future of your loved ones. So often, we can create something to be afraid of and stressed about. And in that, we can't focus our heart on God. We can't focus our mind on God because our mind simply won't get off of what we're worried about. We're being chased down by fears of our own making. And we're not living out the hope that we have in Jesus that he shows us in Matthew 6, 31, 33. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. It's not easy living in an age of fear like we live in. As I said, we create things to be worried about. In his book, How to Pray, Pete Gray humorously compares this to a story known as the parable of the deranged greyhound and the wild dog eating chair. You see, he was saying he was working on his book one day at a local coffee shop, and he saw this greyhound being chased by a dog eating chair. This metal bistro chair clanking and clanking all the way down the street as he had been leashed to it. And something must have spooked him, and he started moving, and that chair moved, and then he moved more, and the chair moved more. And before you knew it, the chase was on. The chair was coming to get him. He wouldn't take a moment. He wouldn't take a second to just stop, though, and to let the chair stop, not understanding that he was causing the issue that he was afraid of. How true is that for us, that we're all being chased by dog-eating bistro chairs? And if we would just take time to pause, take time to reflect, we can drudge through those midlands and realize all those tears are really nothing. My cross-country coach in college would say it this way, Brandon, you make mountains out of molehills. Have you ever made a mountain out of a molehill? When you can pause and be with God, those mountains turn back into molehills. The psalmist understands this because he knows the hope that there is in God. And this is what he says in verse 7 and 8. Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is plentiful redemption. And he will redeem Israel from all his inequities. Hope in the Lord. When we fear, when we stress over the things of this life, what we're really doing is not trusting God. Not trusting that he is our most heavenly Father who cares for us and provides for us all of what we need. As Jesus says, your Father in heaven knows you need all of these things. He knows you need it, and he will provide it. Do we trust him too? Do we trust him? Can we, as Paul exhorts the church in Philippi, to finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Releasing our anxiety and fear to the Lord. Trusting he knows what is best and will take care of our problems. But when was the last time you actually truly released it and didn't pick it back up? You drudged through the midlands. You got to that place of depth that you said, oh, wait, I forgot something. And you start walking back to pick it right back up. Forgetting that God is with you. He's with you in the good, the bad, and the ugly. And he promises us rest. I think of what the psalmist writes in Psalm 23, verse 2, the very first part where he says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. I love that he makes me. He doesn't give me the option. He makes me. And I pray often, God, make me. Make me do this. Make me pause. Let me pause this world and to live in you, focus on you. I love what this says, because God will do it. If we have willing hearts, he will help us to pause. He'll turn all those metal bistro chairs that are tears in our lives back into just a chair. Jesus says it best in Matthew 6:8 about those needs. Do not be like them, for the Father knows what you need before you ask him. He knows what you need before you know it. When we can accept this gift given to us by God, by knowing and being known by him, things we thought would ruin us, mess us up, or end us, they just seem to not worry us anymore because we trust him and we can be still and remember that he is God and that we are not, and thanks be to God for that. But we have to break through the shallows. We have to drudge through the midlands so that when we get to that place of deep thought and prayer, when we're authentically focused on his face, the author and perfecter of our faith, that we can truly commune with God in a much more deep and meaningful way. Last week, we talked about how we do this. We talked about how we do this a little bit. We talked about a breath prayer and how amazing that could be to help us do that, and how St. Francis of Assisi would teach his disciples and instruct his disciples that he was training up in the faith to simply breathe in and breathe out saying, my God and my all. Or maybe saying something like, my Heavenly Father, hallowed be your name. Let me tell you, there's a lot of power in that prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Even the Lord's Prayer is everything we'd ever need to pray. And if you remember, we went through it quite extensively last year, which on the QR code on the back of your worship folders in the week 2 resources for the series on prayers, that message of how, what that actually means to pray, our Father who are in heaven. How just repeating that can be a great tool to focus your heart on God and who God is. Because when you are saying, God, my Father, who is in heaven, it's hard to think about other things. It's hard to focus on other things because you could take some time to remember that you're in the presence of God. However, if you find breaking through the shallows and drudging through the midlands even harder to get to the deep place within your soul, to authentically focus and connect with God even more difficult and hard, here's a few pieces of advice that will help you start. Relax. I loved what the keynote speaker said at the conference, Greg Turner, our president of Yosemite Ministry Institute. He said, a comfortable body cannot be stressed. And how is that true? So true. But to relax, to take that deep breath, fill your lungs with air that God gave you, and focus, my God and my all, Lord, hallowed be your name. Squash the distractions as they immediately come and try to block you out once again. Relax, focus, remind yourself. Remind yourself of who God is in his word. Read a psalm of ascent, read them all. Remember that you are his beloved child, and he longs to be with you. And finally, when you still can't get to that deep place, rinse and repeat. Keep doing it. Keep seeking that place that you can be, to just be with you and God. And you can have a conversation with God, not just simply talking to him, but talking with him, listening as much as you talk. Some in these times are led to a particular passage. And that's how God speaks to them. That light bulb goes off in their mind like a cartoon. And it makes you think about how God, who God is and how great God is. Some see something around them. I know once I was doing this and I saw a bush. And the sun was just beaming through the bush. And I kept staring at this bush. And I'm like, what am I doing staring at this bush? But I'm going to tell you, God was moving and showing me his splendor in a bush with the sunlight beaming through, and how beautiful it was. Some people hear audibly. Moses did through a burning bush. Moses stared at a bush too. I just want to point that out. But some hear audibly. And that, granted, I say that's rare, but it does happen. How is it God is trying to speak to you? Because here's the thing, God is speaking. Are we listening? He is speaking through the creation. He is speaking, even audibly sometimes. Are we listening? Sometimes it comes just as a pull, a tug on our heart, like Philip, who was led out to a desolate place where no one goes, and there was an Ethiopian eunuch who needed help interpreting the scriptures, who needed help understanding who Jesus was. And here's Philip ready to share. If you are struggling for this, there's also another resource called How to Have a Quiet Time. And that's also on our website on that QR code that you can scan and go there to find it. If you're having issues breaking through the shallows and drudging through the Midlands. However, God is leading you. Whatever God is speaking to you, whatever's distracting you, let us take it to the Lord now. Let us practice that principle of prayer that we've discussed of pausing just right now to take a deep breath as the worship team comes to lead us in a time of reflection and response, to allow God to come completely into view, and that we would be present with Him as He is present with us. Help us come to You, God. Help us come to You. Help us be solely focused on You. This is the word of the Lord. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord remains forever. Amen and amen.